Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
In Jeremiah, we read, a little more seriously. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a good future full of hope. Hallelujah. That's the truth version. I'll read it once more. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a good future full of hope. Amen. Father, we thank you that we are your children because you have called us, you have chosen us, and made us your own. And thank you, Lord, that you do have a plan and purpose for our lives. And we want to see that purpose furthered in each of our lives personally, in Kingdom Faith, corporately, and to see your plans and purposes being outworked in this nation. In all the midst and muddle of confusion of these last days, to see your plan and your purpose emerge for our land in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I'm actually looking at the section in the 150 themes here on the purpose of God. I'm just going to read out a few of the scriptures very quickly. In Psalms, it says, I shall call upon God the Most High, who fulfills his purpose for me. He fulfills his purpose for me, says David. Then later he says, the Lord will bring to fulfillment his purposes for me. Then in Proverbs we read, in his heart a man makes many plans, but it is what the Lord has determined that shall happen. Then Isaiah says, or it says in Isaiah, God speaking, whatever I have planned shall surely come to be. What I have purposed will definitely happen. The enemy's yoke will be removed from my people and his burdens lifted from their shoulders. This is the Lord's considered purpose for the whole earth. His hand is extended over all the nations to accomplish it. For who can prevent the Lord Almighty from doing what he has purposed? When he stretches out his hand, who can force him to remove it? Who believes God is in charge? Amen. Later in Isaiah, have you not heard how in the distant past I determined what would happen? Long ago I planned it, and now I have caused it to take place. Then later in Isaiah, my purpose shall certainly take place. I will see the outworking of my will of that which pleases me. And later in Isaiah, the words that I speak will not prove to be useless. They will bring into being exactly what I intended so that my purposes are accomplished. For I know the plans that I have for you, the one we've already read from Jeremiah, plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a good future full of hope. And then later in Jeremiah, your plans are great and your deeds are mighty. You see whatever men do and reward everyone according to the way he lives and the fruit he produces. And we could go on and on through the New Testament as well as the Old. But all these scriptures, you see, give us this real sense that God is in charge because he is Lord and he is working out his plans, and his plans for his people are always good. Now, not all that happens in our lives is good, but his plans for us are good. So no matter what situation we're in, he will work for our good in those situations. Things can happen to us personally that aren't good. Things can happen in our nation that aren't good. But God will always be at work for our good. Now, this raises a, an interesting question, just for us to do a little bit of thinking, although it's August. In what way has God planned the script for your life? If you got a bunch of actors together and just put them on a stage without a script, there would be chaos. Because one might want to do one kind of a play, another kind of a play, another something else, and so on. Actors work from a script, something that has been pre-prepared. And, of course, they have to learn the lines of the script. Otherwise, again, there is confusion for the other actors and therefore for the audience. Now, all this is pretty obvious for us, but in what way has God scripted our lives? When he planned and purposed you to be his child, had he sort of worked out beforehand everything that was going to happen to you? Well, the scriptures make it very clear that he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what happens for us, but we can't lay at God's feet the thought that he has caused anything evil. Jesus made it very clear, the devil is the thief who steals, kills, and destroys. So God is never going to do the work of the devil. He is never going to motivate or cause anyone to do those things, to act like a thief, to steal, kill, and destroy. That can never be God's best purposes. But, of course, because the whole world is under the power of the evil one, these things happen. And sometimes these things can happen to us. All kinds, I'm not just thinking about the events of recent days, but all kinds of things have happened in our lives that clearly we would not have wanted and clearly have not been the best will and purpose of God for us. Sometimes sickness may have attacked, other times we might have been involved in some kind of accident or so on. And this can cause us a few problems intellectually. In what way can we say that God has allowed these things even? It seems a little bit confusing if God loves us and is concerned for his plan and his purpose to be outworked in our lives, that so often we should be confronted with things that are not his will and purpose. Okay, now let's just consider for a moment what he has done. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness where all these negative things happen. We'll try that again. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves. So we're still living in the midst of the darkness of the world, but we are now part of the light. And God's purpose is that his light should shine out of our lives into the darkness. But the darkness is still there. And the darkness, therefore, if we're not careful, can have an influence upon our lives. We have to be, if you like, proactive in ensuring that the light that is within us overcomes the darkness that is around us. And that when darkness attacks, it comes up against the light. Now, who knows that whenever light and darkness meets, the light always wins? Darkness cannot put the light out, but the light puts the darkness out. So what is in us is greater than what is in the world around us. Are you breathing? Okay. So we can see that God has delivered and saved us out of the darkness in which we once lived. He has also put within us the gift of His Holy Spirit. If we're born again and have received this precious gift, then Christ lives in us by the power of His Spirit. Now, He made it clear that when He became man, He came not to do His own will, but the will of Him who sent Him. He came to fulfill the Father's purposes. And when He prayed just before He went to the cross, He could thank the Father that He had accomplished everything for which the Father sent Him. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to get to the end of our days on earth and be able to say, Father, I thank You that You have enabled Your plan and Your purpose for my life to be fully accomplished. Isn't that what we all want to say? Okay. So that means that we're living now not with plans of our own, but with a purpose that has come from God. So why has God put His Spirit within us? Well, the Spirit gives us all kinds of abilities. He is the power of love. He is the power of God, the supernatural power that raised Jesus from the dead. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of faith. He is the Spirit of prayer. He is the Spirit who enables us to do whatever the will of God is. Now, our natural life, apart from God, is called in Scripture the flesh. And Jesus says, in your flesh, in your natural life, there dwells nothing good. Hello? Yes. But we have within us the power of the Spirit who does everything good. Yes. Just as the flesh cannot do anything good, the Spirit cannot do anything bad. Anybody at the same meeting that I'm at here? Okay. So we have our natural ability that can't do God's purposes, and we've got His supernatural power that can never go against His purposes. So it's a question of whether we walk in the flesh and fail, or whether we walk in the Spirit and overcome. Now, God has called us to overcome. Or to be victorious, as we read the letters that are written by the Spirit to the seven churches in Asia Minor in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. Each one of those letters ends with, to he who overcomes, or to he who is victorious, the crown of life is given, and so on, all the great promises. But it's obvious, therefore, that God's purpose for His whole church is for people to live in victory. That we might be in a world where all kinds of negative things happen and can influence us to a certain extent, can come against us sometimes, but we have within us the power, the life, the love, the ability to overcome. Now, in this script, when God called and chose you, determined the plan and purpose for your life, how did He script that? Have all those things that happened to you been part of the script or not? I mean, all those negative things, all those things you would never have wished to happen. You want me to give you the answer, don't you? Well, God, because he lives in eternity, lives outside of time. That's why he can see the end from the beginning. He can see Adam, he can see you, he can see Jesus coming again all at the same time. Except it isn't time because he's outside of time. Are you with me? Well, I don't know how because I'm not even with myself at that point. Because we can't even understand eternity because we think in terms of time. So, you know, we have to try to get outside of our normal mindset to understand how God can see what was and what is to come all at the same time. So God could foresee all the circumstances that were going to arise in our lives. He could see the times when we would digress from his will and his purposes and go off into our own ways. He could foresee all the things that happen to us that he hasn't planned and that we wouldn't have wanted, because he calls us to live in a world where there is so much darkness. So what's his script for all this? Well, his script, you see, for you is that once you became a believer, you would exercise the life of the kingdom. You would live in the power of the Spirit. And so you would be able to counteract all those circumstances that come against you. That the light would shine out of you into the darkness. That you would be salt for the earth. Jesus actually said to his disciples, "In the world you will have tribulation. Great trouble." So he never said, "I'm going to save you out of all the trouble that goes on in the world." No, what he really was saying is, "I'm going to put you right in the midst of the trouble. Just like I came to live right in the midst of the trouble. But you no longer belong to the trouble. You belong to the answer. You no longer belong to the darkness, you belong to the light. You no longer belong to the devil and what he's doing, you belong to me and what I'm doing. So my purpose, the script, if you like, that God says, for your life is to enable you, no matter what the situation you're in, no matter what the circumstances that arise, my script is that you overcome. Amen. Come on. Amen. Right. That's the script I've written. Yes. And this is why, you see, Paul says that God always, say always, always leads us in triumph through Christ. It's his purpose. So there's going to be darkness, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on in the world around us. But God's script for your life as one of his chosen ones is that you will overcome in the midst of all of that. Now, he's put into his word certain scenarios that help us to understand how that is actually going to be effected. In other words, what it looks like in practice. And he says this, really. If you are going to live as an overcomer, you will always give thanks. In every situation, you will give thanks. Now, what does the word say? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So, what was the scenario, what was the script that God wrote for your life? In everything, you will give thanks. When there's darkness, you will still give thanks because you belong to the light. When there's opposition, you will still give thanks because you belong to the Lord. When there's sickness comes, you will still give thanks because you have the healer living within you. When there's confusion, you will give thanks because you have the spirit of wisdom. You will give thanks in all circumstances because you don't belong to the circumstances. You belong to the Lord who is able to change the circumstances. Are we getting this? Then, of course, another part of this script that God has prepared for you is that you will rejoice always. You will rejoice in the Lord. You won't necessarily rejoice in the circumstances. You won't rejoice in the darkness. You won't rejoice in the sin. You won't rejoice in the opposition. You won't rejoice in the persecution. But you will rejoice in the Lord in the face of all those things. Why? Because what is to affect your life, what is to determine who you are as a person, is not what happens to you from outside of you, but the one who lives within you. He is your identity. Are we there? Now, well, as I was praying early this morning and preparing for this meeting, God actually started to talk to me about this stuff, and it wasn't at all what I would have chosen to preach about this morning, to be honest with you, but, you know, I've learned you've got to do what the boss says. Otherwise, you've got nothing to say. But the question that I felt that he was wanting to put before us this morning is, how closely are you living according to the script? Or are you like an out-of-control actor that is having to ad-lib and try to blag his way through? I used to do a bit of acting in my even younger days. And there was one play that I was in where there were just four of us, two men, two women, in a play that covered the whole of the Passion. It was a very, very powerful play, actually. But you never even got to speak a whole sentence. You were constantly changing character. Sometimes you were the crowd when all four of you were speaking together. Sometimes you were this character, that character. And what you started a sentence, somebody else would finish it. And this went on for a whole hour. It required, obviously, a lot of rehearsing. It had to be very, very spot on. And had to flow very, very fast, the dialogue. And this went on for over an hour. So it was very intensive. But as I was praying this morning, the Lord reminded me of this. And how you can only actually produce that effect if everybody is working together in unity. That it's not just what is written in the script for your life, but what is written in the script of all those who are about you, who are around you. And ever since we were born again, God has put us within his body. Unless you're visiting us this morning, you are part of the body here. So God has a script for your life. He's got a script for every other member of the body here. But in the way he has scripted our lives, all those scripts have got to work together in unity. He hasn't planned any of us to work independently. There will be some things that one will begin, that another will continue, and someone else may finish. Just like in that play. What matters is the overall effect. What matters is that each of the players is performing his part as scripted by the Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us into all the truth. You see, we are not like a group of actors that God just puts together, a few hundred people, and says, okay, just get on with living your lives in the best way that you think possible now that you're a Christian. He says, no, I've got a plan and purpose for your life. That's always been the case. I deliberately just read from the Old Testament because I wanted you to understand that it's always been God's purpose from the very beginning to be outworking his purpose. Jesus, the coming of Jesus, was the outworking of his purpose. All that Jesus did was the outworking of his purpose. All that he did on the cross was the outworking of his purpose. The resurrection was the outworking of his purpose. Reigning in glory was the outworking of his purpose. Pouring out his Spirit upon his people was the outworking of his purpose. You being called and chosen to be part of his body here on earth now is part of his purpose. You being a part of Kingdom Faith is a part of his purpose. And you are not to step outside his purpose. And you see, when Christians choose to step outside of God's purpose, they step out into independence. Can you see that? You know, you've often heard it said from this platform by different people that if anybody is called to leave the church, we want to send them out because that's God's purpose and we want to see the purpose of God furthered. But if anybody leaves without us being able to send them out, then they've stepped outside of God's purpose. Can you see that? They've stepped out in independence in some way. And, you know, you can't have a group of actors performing according to the script if one of them decides to act in independence and does his own thing and doesn't follow the script. This is too deep for some of you, isn't it? It's reduced you to silence. But are you understanding me? So God has his plan and purpose for Kingdom Faith. God has his plan and purpose for this church. He actually has a plan and purpose for every church. Some churches haven't discovered it yet. But the most important thing is that we are fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has for us as his body in this place at this time. That we're not seeking to devise some plan of our own. You know, I'm not really a great advocate of churches having 5-year plans. So then, well, whose plan is it for the next 5 years? Is it man deciding that this is what the church is going to do for the next 5 years, or is this something that has really come from God? Hello? The important thing is that, and why we need spiritual leadership in any church, is that revelation is received from God as to the direction in which the whole body is to go. And we are all part of that. And that's why we need to pray for Clive and the others with him, that they will be receiving the direction from the Lord for the way in which the body is to grow and develop and proceed during these coming months and beyond. And we are all a part of that. But let's just talk for a moment at the personal level. Because you see, God has his script for your life personally. Now, one of the reasons why you need to begin every day in prayer is to get God's script for that day. Not just to tell God what you're going to do that day, but to cultivate your ability to listen to the voice of the Spirit so he can tell you what he wants you to do that day. At the same time, he will prepare you for whatever eventualities, unexpected things that will arise during that day. If you are a man or woman of prayer, you will know there have been many times when God has spoken to you in the early morning when you've had your time with the Lord, and you haven't understood why he should say what he said to you. And then later in the day, something happens. And then you realize why he said what he said. That is because he could see what was going to happen, even if it was something he had not willed, something negative, but he was preparing you for it. Now, there's a part of us that says, or wants to say, Lord, if that's the case, why didn't you stop it from happening? But you see, God does not deal with people like puppets. Everybody has got the free will. All those that cause chaos and confusion in some of our cities, they had the free will to do that. I think it's very sad as you read the papers now, some of the people that just got caught up in it, in the heat of the moment, and now are bitterly regretting the fact. But that's the flesh. Something happens, appeals to the flesh, and if you're not a godly person, you're likely to respond and get involved in something that afterwards you would deeply regret and will be a sort of a scar on your life. You know, some people are going to end up with a criminal record, and you would have said about them before those events, I could never imagine him or her doing such a thing or ending up with a criminal record. But that's the flesh. That's the flesh responding in the wrong way to a set of circumstances. But our God lives within us. We'll try that again. Our God lives within us so that we can always be prepared for any eventuality. But the important thing is that we're listening to the voice of the one who lives within us. We're taking heed to the warnings that he gives us. Even when we don't understand at the time why we should need to receive such warnings. Because we can't see the way ahead in the way that he does. Is all this making sense to you now? So, I rejoice that God is in control. God is in charge. And it doesn't matter what happens around you, God is in charge in your life. And God is going to enable you to overcome. God is going to enable you to meet every difficulty that confronts you. Well, six of you believe it. We'll try that again. God is going to enable you to meet every difficulty that confronts you. You meet it with his life that is in you, his love that is in you, his power that is in you, his victory that is in you. Remember these last weeks, these are the four things that especially God has been establishing in our lives that he wants us to realize all the time. As I've shared with you, I spend time every day just thanking the Lord. Your life is in me. Your life is in me. Your life is in me. Your love is in me. Your power is in me. Your victory is in me. Why? Because I've got to live that day in the good of his life, his love, his power, and his victory. And if I can't thank the Lord or begin the day by thanking the Lord that his life is in me, I don't believe it. I mean, I'm not going to live in the good of it. If you asked me, is his life in you? I'd say yes. But if I really am going to live as one with his life within me, then I'm going to begin the day by saying, thank you, Lord. Your life is in me today. Your love is in me today. Your power is in me today. Your victory is in me today. So today I will live with your life. Today I will be able to express your love. Today I can see your power flowing out of me as a river of living water. Today I can live in victory. Now, the great thing is, and this is the script, God scripted this for your life, not for your survival, but to enable you to impact the darkness around you, to enable you to impact the lives of other people who do not have his life, his love, his power, and his victory.
Right. Very good.
Are we getting this? I should begin to preach in a minute. You see, this is the exciting thing about being a Christian. It isn't, oh God, give me your life. He says, you have my life. I have given you the fullness of life. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have the fullness of life. Now be thankful that you have the fullness of life. If you're not thankful for that, how can you be living in the good of it? You have my love because the scripture says God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You have my power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You have my victory because he always leads us in his victorious procession. Always, 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 the scripture says. Hallelujah. All kinds of things are going to happen that you wouldn't want. And that God actually didn't plan. But God, in his foreknowledge, knew would happen. But what he did plan is how you would react to those circumstances. How you would be able to overcome in those circumstances. So his plan for your life was a walk of faith. And that's why the scripture says without faith, it is impossible to please God, because as soon as there is no faith, you cannot fulfill the plan. You cannot fulfill the script that he has for your life. That script can only be fulfilled through faith. And it has to be faith working through love. The motto of Kingdom Faith. So he has made you a man or woman of faith. Come on, he has made you a man or woman of faith. Because the scripture says he is the author and finisher of your faith. He has authored the faith in you. And what he wants to do is to perfect faith in you. So how is he going to do that? Well, he gives you these instructions, doesn't he? Give thanks. You see, when you don't give thanks, you're believing the circumstances, not the answer who lives in you. Right. Rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because when you're not rejoicing, you get worried about the circumstances instead of rejoicing in the one who is over the circumstances and can change the circumstances. Pray continually. That doesn't mean you know, you're praying every moment of the day, but you have this continuous flow of prayer in your life because you meet every situation with prayer, not saying, oh, God, cause this to go away, but no, Lord, cause me to fulfill your plan and your purpose for me in this situation. You knew I would be in these circumstances. Now, thank you, Lord, that you will enable me to overcome. You will enable your power to flow out of me to enable victory in this person's life and that person's life, healing and whatever, deliverance. Yes, that's right. Come on. All kinds of things. So are you living with your own script? Do you sort of want to write your own script for every day? Or with his script. He's given you his kingdom that is within you. Amen. And his spirit within you. Amen. For his script, not yours.
Right.
What he has planned and purposed for your life. Hallelujah. So, You know, we are to pray at all times with thanksgiving. Why? Because when we pray, we're speaking the victory into being. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, speak to the mountain. Don't just speak to God, speak to the mountain. Command it to be moved. Why? You're speaking the will of God into being. You see, God is saying, listen, the mountain is not my will. I didn't put the mountain there. The enemy's put the mountain there. I'm telling you to speak to the mountain and to believe in your heart when you speak so the mountain will be moved. Amen. So don't talk about the mountain. Get mountain moving. Because my will is for mountains to be moved, not spoken about, not prayed about even, but moved. So God wants us to have a faith mindset. And a faith mindset is a victorious mindset. Right. You see, a lot of people don't like this idea of victory. I mean, I know when I go traveling around and start speaking about victory, you get some leaders, they get all upset. Oh, well, we've got to just help people through. And you know, they're in this situation and that situation. And I say to them, but if you don't talk about victory, how are they ever going to overcome those situations? What you're saying is, well, you know, Jesus is there with you in the middle of the problem. Just put up with it. But Jesus didn't come and teach people to put up with it. He came to teach them to move mountains. He came to teach them to live in victory. He came to teach them to overcome. So we're not actually helping people if we simply help them to live with their problem. You know, there are many addicts who don't actually really want to be set free. They just want somebody to help them live with their problem.
That's it. Yes.
When people want to be set free, they will repent. They will turn away. And that's when God intervenes and an addict can be set free immediately without any withdrawal symptoms when there is that kind of heart repentance. For others, it's a prolonged thing that can go on and on and on and on because there's not that real desire to be set free. But that's obvious in a thing like addiction, smoking or something like that. But it's also true for other things that we allow to persist in our lives, which may not be part of God's script. Not things that he would will for us. Not things that he ever planned and purposed for us. Not things that actually do us good. Not things that will do others good. And that's when God calls us to account, really, and he says, come on, it's time to get rid of the unscripted stuff. Hello? I didn't get many amens. I said it's time to get rid of the unscripted stuff. So that what you can focus on is my will, my plan, my purpose. And the more, you see, we focus on the Word of God, which is why this is a wonderful tool. I mean, it's all scripture in here. But you see, it helps you to see what God's purpose is for this area of your life, for that area, for this subject, how this part of his character is going to be reproduced in you, and so on. You can get into one subject like the purpose of God, and you can pray through and you can work through a series of scriptures that is going to unfold for you more and more of those purposes, give you a greater understanding of God's plan and purpose for your life. And I mean, that's just one of 150 subjects. But you see what I mean? You can look at all the scriptures about the Holy Spirit and they're all collected there easily for you to work through. Okay, well, how does God want the Holy Spirit to operate through my life? He has given me the fullness of life. But what does that mean? I can turn to the section on life and read all these scriptures about his life. Now, is his life operating in my life according to his script? According to his will, according to his plan and purpose, according to what he wanted for me? Or is that only partially the case, because there's a whole lot of things going on in my life that are actually not part of the script, that are actually not part of his plan and purpose? I'm not preaching to promote this book, it's just that you need to buy it. What you see, what I'm promoting is the Word of God. When the Lord laid on my heart to do this, you know, I always say, well, I like to know why the Lord wants me to do something. So when he, because there was a lot of work, let me tell you, a lot of work involved, much more work in writing something like this than writing an ordinary book. And so I said, well, why, Lord? And he said, because it's part of my purpose to turn my people back to my word and to an understanding of how my word needs to influence the people that they are and the way they live. Yes. Amen. Because only then can my purposes be outworked in the world. See, let me just finish with this. The amazing thing about all this, beloved, is this, that we know, because we read the end of the book of Revelation, we know that in the end, everything's going to turn out right for God. Amen. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and we're going to be part of it. And the devil will be in the abyss, and all the demons will have been dealt with, and all the rest of it. Hallelujah. It's good to know the last chapter, isn't it? I'm not in favor of reading the last chapter of a novel before you've read the novel, but with the Bible, it helps to know what the last chapter is. And you know that it doesn't matter what you have to work through, you're part of the last chapter. You're part of the eternal victory that Jesus Christ has won on the cross. Hallelujah. And that God has given you eternal life to assure that you're part of the final solution. Hallelujah. The final outcome. So that's God's plan and purpose. And we're right in the middle of it. The thing is that God has chosen to bring that final purpose about through his church. Not through politicians. Not through trade unions. Not through secular societies. Not through a humanist movement. But through his church. We are the purpose of God. Amen. In the world. So, I mean, only God would have dared to do this. I mean, let's face it, if you just look around you, or even look in the mirror, you have to ask yourself, how can you dare to leave your purposes in our hands? How can you dare to work out such a great purpose through the likes of us? And his answer to that is, because I'm God. And as God, I can choose to do whatever I want to do, as we just read in those scriptures earlier. And I've deliberately chosen the weak and the foolish through which to do it, so that everybody will know it was me and it wasn't them. Hallelujah. But that means that God is looking to us to fulfill the plans
and the purposes that he has for our lives. That this is the most important thing. You see, God's plan and purpose for you doesn't begin with, will I get married? To whom shall I get married? How many kids will I have? What kind of job will I have? Will I have a big enough salary? Have I got a good enough house? Have I got a Mercedes yet? I said that for Jonathan's benefit. He's rejoicing that he's got a, he's rejoicing he's got a new car, but it's not a Mercedes. I said, you can either have a car or a Mercedes, but you can't. How did we get onto that? My wife says the flesh. Thank God for our wives. So God is going to work out his purpose in your life because he is God. And that's what I love about those scriptures. He says, I'm going to do it. He says, I am going to do it in you. I am going to work out my purpose through you. I think it's wonderful. Absolutely. I mean, you know, the God of all creation, the God who created the universe says, well, you may just be little you, but I am going to work out my divine purpose through your life. And that's going to be part of what I'm working out in the whole of creation to bring my end purpose about. I think it's wonderful. But then he just adds this. I would like your cooperation. Because it's so much easier for me to work my purpose out if you are submitted to my will, to my lordship, to my authority in your life. You have my spirit, but how can my spirit work out that purpose in your life if you're not submitted to my spirit, if you don't listen to my spirit, if you don't obey my spirit? I have given you the life and the love and the power, but what is the purpose of having that unless you're submitted to me so that that life can be expressed, that love can be shown, that power can pour out of you and enable you to live in victory? So we've got everything going for us, haven't we? And I think it would be great that in a moment we stand up and we thank the Lord and we rejoice in the Lord that we're part of these purposes. Amen? And then I think before we finish, we'll just see a few mountains shifted. I mean, you don't have to wait to come to church on Sunday to shift the mountains. Mountains move on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, as well as Sundays. Fridays and Saturdays too, just in case you think I haven't got my theology right. God moves mountains every day. Amen? Come on, let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Right, just open your heart and your mouth and begin to thank the Lord. Now, when you thank the Lord, you start in English, not in tongues. Just start to thank him. Thank you, Lord, that you have called me, you've chosen me, you've made me part of your divine purpose. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Is this thing on? Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you that you called me. Thank you that you chose me. Thank you that you put your life within me.
Thank you that you called me according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord, that you know the plans you have for me. Plans for my welfare. Plans for good. Plans that give me a good future. Plans that enable me to live full of hope. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that when you scripted my life, you scripted everything good for me. You scripted that you would put new life within me, that you would put your kingdom within me, that you would put your spirit within me. Thank you, Lord, that you scripted all that. And thank you that those things have been fulfilled. Come on, really thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you scripted that I would have the love and I would have the power and I would have the mercy and I would have the grace to be able to counteract anything that ever comes against me of any kind. Thank you, Lord, that you scripted victory for my life, that you scripted I would be an overcomer, that I would be led in your triumphal procession. Thank you that you scripted I would always be able to overcome because my trust and confidence is in you and because you are working out your plan and purpose in my life in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the opposition, in the midst of death, we are in life. Oh, Lord, I thank you that even when sickness comes, you are my healer, you are my deliverer, you are my life, you are my love, you are my power, you are my victory, and I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you never scripted any of the mountains, but you scripted that I would overcome those mountains, that those mountains would be shifted, those mountains would be moved, those mountains, those circumstances would be transformed, would be changed. Thank you, Lord, you scripted that I would be transformed into your likeness with ever-increasing glory. Hallelujah. Come on, let's hear the praise now. Thank you, Lord, that none of those negative things are your will and purpose for me. You didn't script any of that for my life. Thank you that you never scripted darkness. You scripted light for my life. Oh, rasatapa karazitapa. You didn't script sickness, you scripted health and healing and power and divine life. Oh, rasatapa karazitoba. Buparazatoba. Lord, I want everything in my life to come into your divine order. I don't want anything in my life that is outside of your order, outside of your plan, outside of your purpose. Puratapa razatuba. Lord, I choose today to bring everything in my life in line with your divine purpose. And I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for anything in my thinking, anything in my heart, anything in my life, anything in the way I speak or the way I think or the way I act, anything that is not your divine purpose. Come on, can you pray that? You pray that right now and just receive the mercy of the Lord. Receive the forgiveness. Receive the cleansing of the blood. That anything and everything that is not part of His script for your life, His plan and purpose for your life, what He intended for your life. Oh, just thank Him for the forgiveness that He gives you this morning for all those things. Who knows that when God forgives, that's the end of the matter. Hallelujah. Sarabatota parasita balantuma. Oh Lord, all those things of the flesh, I step outside of those now. Palata pariazato bakalazita risanduba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Paparazata parasita risato bakalazita risanduma. Bambarazatari aledo bakalazitri sandaba. Bazatari aledo bakalazitri sato bakalazitri sandama.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, thank you that if you always lead me in triumph, today is part of always. So the script that you have written and have even put it in your unchangeable word is that you lead me in triumph today because today is part of always. So I thank you that your plan, your purpose for my life today is victory. Thank you, I don't have to wait for tomorrow because your plan today is victory. And I'll have more victories tomorrow and more on Tuesday and more on Wednesday. But thank you, Lord, your plan for today is victory today. Now, amen. You remember when Jesus dealt with the opposition of the enemy in the wilderness, he said, "It is written." You can pray right now, "It is written." God always leads me in his triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Always. So thank you, Lord, you're leading me in triumph today. Now, Jesus says that when you speak to mountains, you must believe in your heart. This is why we're taking this route, you see. Believe in your heart. God's purpose for me today is victory. Because that's what his word says. That's the script. I live in him. He lives in me. He doesn't know how to fail. Jesus has never failed. Hallelujah. So the one who leads me in triumph is the one who has never failed. If I trust in myself, I will fail. But if I trust in him, I will be victorious. I will overcome. Hallelujah. So why don't you come against that mountain now, whatever it is? Now, Jesus says you have to speak to the mountain, not think about it, not stand there silent, but speak. When Jesus said speak, he means you speak. So you need to speak. You don't have to speak so loud that everybody all around you hears what you're saying. But speak. Form the words and speak them out. Declare them against that mountain. And Jesus says, when you do that, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved. Why? Because you are called to God's victorious purposes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes we see the mountain moved immediately. Sometimes we have to persevere and persevere and persevere until it is moved. And the scripture teaches us both. I've known mountains to be moved immediately. I've known other mountains in my life that I've had to persevere and persevere and persevere to see the whole jolly situation shifted and changed. Either way, we get the victory. Why? Because you see, in a war, you get lots of these victories, but you only win a war if you persevere and get one victory after another, after another, after another. You have to keep persevering. And we're going to win the war. We're not just winning little skirmishes against the devil. We're part of the victorious army that is winning the war. Amen? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against all the spiritual powers of wickedness. But we are part of the winning army. Hallelujah. So right now, come on. Just say this with me because I want to vocalize it for you so you can speak it out. But you know, you obviously have to believe in your heart. In the name of Jesus, I come against this mountain now. Now just name that mountain, whatever it is. Just name that mountain. I come against this mountain in the name of Jesus and command that it be moved to leave my life and not return. For the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the good of his kingdom, and for my welfare as one of his people. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's do some more of this. In the name of Jesus, I come against all sickness that has come against me, and I proclaim the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over every impediment, every infirmity, every attack of the enemy. I speak victory over my life. I speak healing. I speak God's health, God's saving power, God's deliverance over my life for his glory, for the good of his kingdom, and for my welfare as one of his people. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, praise you, Jesus. Oh, come on, thank him that mountains are moved. Thank him for mountain-moving faith. He is the author of your faith. He gives you mountain-moving faith. Thank him for the authority that he's given you, the authority to pray in his name, the authority to speak in his name, the authority to act in his name. Oh, rata parazata parazitoba. Oh, rata parialeto bacarazitoba. Now just thank the Lord, you're going to take his overcoming power into the world during these coming days. Come on, you're going to see one victory after another. You are, you are, you are, you are. You're going to see. Some of them will be little victories, but there'll be answers to prayer that will encourage you. Others will be more major things. Hallelujah. But you see, God has scripted the details. He hasn't just scripted the general sort of drift of your life. He wants to script the details every day of your life. That's why he wants you to be one who listens to his voice, who is ready and prepared and for whatever eventualities will arise. Because in his foreknowledge, he can see what is to come. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you have thought of everything. Thank you, Lord, that you live within us. Your voice is within us by the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us. Thank you that you encourage our faith. Thank you that you warn us when we need to be warned. Thank you that you keep us from falling. Oh, thank you that your word says you will keep us from falling. You will keep us from fouling the whole system up. Now I want you to pray that you will fulfill your part in the body. Remember what we said earlier, that you know you're not just a lone actor on a stage all by yourself, but there's all the other actors around you. And we all have to interact and relate and love one another and be as one, you know, so God can command the blessing. Yes, respecting the part that everybody else has to play, because the other people don't play your part and you don't play their part. We're not all speaking the same lines, but we each have our part in this drama of salvation that God is outworking amongst us. So just thank the Lord now that you're part of a body that wants to see the outworking of the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Sataba karazitori satuba. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that the others around you are going to encourage you and you are going to encourage them. We're going to stand together in faith. We're going to overcome together in things that come against us as a body. Hallelujah. Now, thank you, Lord, that as we move in unity, we're going to see your kingdom come and your will done in Horsham. Horsham is going to become a shining light in this nation. Because you have a people that are radiant with your glory in the midst of this town. And thank you, Lord, that you're moving in other churches too, in order that your plan and your purpose for this town is fulfilled. You haven't put us here as a strategic church in this nation for nothing. Somehow, Horsham is part, is a strategic part of your plan and your purpose, and we are going to see Horsham blessed. We are going to see a multitude coming to faith in this town. We're going to see the sort of proportion of believers rise, the percentage of believers rise month by month, year by year. So people are going to be amazed how many believers there are in this town proportionally. And we give you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that this light is going to shine so brightly that it's going to bless the whole 25-mile radius. Thank you that you didn't just give us one town. You gave us a 25-mile radius with many towns within that. And we bless you. We thank you, Lord. Every one of those towns is going to get blessed. I said every one of those towns is going to be blessed. Your light, your life, your love, your power, your victory is going to impact lives in every single one of those towns. And we give you glory, Lord. We don't know how you are going to do it, but we know that you are going to do it. How? How is up to you, Lord, but we believe it. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, for our nation, we are not discouraged because you have just exposed what is concealed in the hearts of men. But Lord, in the midst of all this, with all the words and words and words and words that are being spoken about it, in the midst of all this, we know you are the only answer. Because you are the only one who can change hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that there's going to be such a wonderful move of your spirit in this nation. Thank you that you're raising up strategic churches all over this nation at this time. Thank you, Lord, that you are giving vision to see a nation transformed. And we just give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that although the politicians don't have an answer and the press doesn't have an answer and the finances don't have an answer, we have you as the answer. And we give you glory. We give you honor and praise. Oh, rasata pakarazatu pakarazita pa. Oh, rasata pakarazitu risatu pakarazita pa. Oh, what a wonderful Lord. Come on, let's just thank him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.